Back together again, you and I chatting it up Tuesday style, the 21st of April, 2026, right here on Connecticut Today, where a proposal to lift some THC levels for legal marijuana products sold in the state was issue one on the program today. With my thoughts on that, I think it would be a bad idea. Also, we were joined by New Canaan, Darien, Stamford GOP State Rep Tom O'Day. He dropped by to chat about his opposition to that same bill. And in her regular Tuesday update, Yankee Institute blogger Megan Portfolio took a look at the impact of recent state minimum wage increases and whether or not those increases have done anything to fight poverty.
So imagine if you heard this one morning or one afternoon. You turn on WICC here in the morning and the middays of the afternoon to kind of catch up on what's going on. And imagine this scenario. I'm going to give you a for instance here. Imagine this scenario. Imagine you turn on the station here and you hear from either myself or Lisa or Melissa or John and Chris in the midday on the download. Imagine that you hear that because Connecticut has very tight controls on some firearms, per se, which we do. And because those tight controls on those firearms, which can still be sold here, are actually slowing down sales here, and those firearms that are tightly controlled here in Connecticut can be purchased legally. We're not talking about crooks here or criminals, but imagine they can be purchased legally across state lines to the west of us in New York, to the east of us in Rhode Island, or to the north in Massachusetts. And imagine you heard some legislator up in the Capitol, Democrat or Republican, saying, well, you know what? Yeah, these guns, listen, yeah, we sell these, but, you know, you can sell a higher powered model of this XYZ semi-automatic or whatever. They're selling more of them in Massachusetts, or they're selling more of them in Rhode Island, or they're selling more of them in New York or to the south of us on Long Island. So we should loosen it up because we're missing out on money. Now, you might have some people, the firearm enthusiasts, the Second Amendment, what we call the 2A people, the Second Amendment people who maybe like the abortion folks and other people, view gun ownership as a prime example of personal choice and freedom, just the way pro-choice people do. But imagine you had those people saying, yeah, I'd go for that. What do you think the reaction would be from most people, maybe not the majority here in Connecticut, but what do you think the reaction would be if pro-Second Amendment people, pro-2A people suddenly started to say, hey, yeah, let's loosen up these restrictions on this sort of firearm sale because they're selling more of them in Massachusetts, New York, Rhode Island? A lot of you would probably say, well, hey, you can still buy guns, but what is this? You're crazy. You're nuts. What is the matter with you? You can still buy plenty of guns. Now, that's my example. That is not what's happening with guns. But according, and we talked about this about a couple of months ago when this was hot, it looks like, now, doesn't mean it's happened yet, but I just want to warn you folks, because you and I always try and discuss this rationally. I'm not a marijuana user or a cannabis user. I know a lot of people who are, people around me, whatever, family members, acquaintances, whatever. So I do not use cannabis. I may someday give me a big old fat jar of gummies and chow down on them. Hey, where's Paul? He didn't show up for his show today. But having said that, I'll just read you this headline to get us started today. And this all feeds into our question of the day, because to me, this is nuts. This is crazy. This is tantamount to saying, hey, we know this could be a problem, but, and again, what does it come down to? The money. It's always the money. We never seem to have enough money in this state with marijuana sales, with the legalized casinos, with the slot revenues, with the lottery, with the legitimate and legal sports gambling. I'm telling you, the lawmakers in Hartford continue to suck at the teat of vices in this state. How about this? The House has passed a bill removing limits on THC and cannabis products. Yeah, we need that. My father used to say, hey, kid, you need that like a hole in the head. That was one of his favorite phrases. I need that, or you need that, or they need that like a hole in the head, Dad used to say. The bill would eliminate caps on THC concentration in cannabis flowers and raise the THC limits on infused drinks. Why? Why? Because we need more money. I'm saying that rhetorically, but I guess that's it. So who, you tell me, who thinks that's a good idea? Now, I know what you're going to say. The number one thing I'm going to hear from a lot of you today is, well, they sell different levels of alcoholic drinks, and you're right, they do. In a retail setting, in a package store, in a liquor store, in restaurants and bars. Okay, and you know why? Because we have a definite measure on alcohol. We have a blood alcohol level. We can screen that in a hospital lab after a suspected DUI. Or we can screen that with a police officer on the scene with a breath test or a field sobriety test. None of that, to any great extent, with any accuracy, exists with marijuana. It just doesn't happen. But yet, some irresponsible legislators in Hartford want to do this. And it is, when I give you the reasoning here, you're going to go, huh, what? Well, you know what the reasoning is. It's money. Because, again, I guess people are going to Massachusetts or to New York or to Rhode Island for more potent marijuana. Good. Let them go. Let them go. You talk about the irresponsibility of this, and again, I'll get into the minutiae here momentarily. But I saw this, I had forgotten about this, we talked about it 2 or 3 weeks ago, and now we're seeing this again. The House has passed a bill removing limits on THC in cannabis products. Yeah, that sounds great, doesn't it? The bill would eliminate caps on THC concentration in the cannabis flower and raise THC limits in infused drinks. Why are we doing this? Well, I know why. It's the money, I get it. But really? How about we spend time fixing our electric bills? How about we spend time on the property taxes? How about we spend time on a new educational cost sharing formula? How about we do all that, huh? Could we do all that? Instead, we're going to say, hey, here's more powerful weed that you just know, you know, you know, you know, you know, by the odds and what the police say is going to be abused by some people. We all know this. So why on earth would we do this? To me, if you can't get high enough, if you cannot get high enough by the weed and the weed products that are out there, too bad. Go get a life if you need to get that high. Mind-boggling. 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. And we start with this. Do you support a bill at the state capitol eliminating THC, and that's the psychoactive ingredient in marijuana or cannabis, eliminating the THC caps on marijuana flowers and raising THC limits for infused drinks? Again, I know what you're going to say. Paul, there's a number regarding alcohol. And I will tell you, yes, and we have definitive, accurate testing for alcohol. We don't have that for marijuana. We don't. We don't. We do not. 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. All right, so maybe you are a legal, recreational, adult marijuana user, and that's fine. Again, the horses out of the barn here, the elephants out of the circus, and whatever animal you want to use, leaving whatever enclosure, we get that, all right? But again, there is this bill floating up in Hartford, which I guess has, the House has passed a bill removing limits on THC in cannabis products. So why are we doing that? Is that, and I know what the obvious answer would be. Well, you know, other states are selling higher potency stuff. Well, again, I hearken to my example. And again, I'm not in any way, shape, or form comparing adult recreational use marijuana with guns. I'm not. I'm really not. But what are the odds that somebody at the Connecticut State Capitol would say, hey, well, you know what, our localized, our local legal firearms dealers, you know, they're just, they're missing out on all these gun sales because Massachusetts can sell them, because Rhode Island can sell them, because New York can sell them. Well, we should allow more liberal gun sales in the state. People would go crazy on that, and maybe with good reason. So why are we allowing that for marijuana? Well, we know why. When I say why, it's rhetorical. Now, I have not touched anything associated with marijuana in like 40 years. I literally smoked at a party, I think in 1984 or 1985, and that was it. I just have no interest. That's not me. Other people I know use it legally now. God bless them. You want to do that, and from what I understand, they're responsible about it. They stay home. They kick back on the weekend, take a nap, go to sleep, whatever. But I'm interested to hear, and if you don't want to come on the radio and talk about it, that's fine. You can always send me a text at 203-333-9422-333-WICC. Talk or text. All good. Zoll, the same thing. Do you support this if you're a legal marijuana user within the law? And I don't know. You tell me. Is the stuff in Connecticut that much weaker than what is able to be purchased at, say, or in, say, Springfield, Massachusetts, or outside of Providence in Rhode Island, or somewhere in New York? If you cross the line into Westchester County, you go to Rockland County or Dutchess County, whatever, you tell me, because I don't know. Now, I know, for example, people who are alcohol connoisseurs will say, well, this whiskey is better than that whiskey. It's potent, but the flavors and whatever. And I would imagine that is the same thing with marijuana. But is there that much of a difference? Are you that wanting of a, you know, a better high, for example, than is available now? I don't know. To me, it just, I just sit here and I say to myself, really? 203-333-9422-333-WICC. One of the big changes that received pushback is the elimination of caps and THC content in the cannabis flower, the plant material, or concentrates. So you tell me, I'm not a marijuana user. I haven't used in 3 or 4 decades. I remember expressly where I was, and one of the females at the party showed no interest in me. In me at all. Maybe that's because of the weed. Maybe I was just babbling. But you tell me, why are we doing this? He asked rhetorically. Oh, it's the money. That's right. Yeah. What do you think would happen if a cigarette company came into Hartford and says, yeah, well, we want to sell cigarettes with even more nicotine? How do you think that would work? Traffic and weather together right here on a Tuesday on WICC. Talking about THC and marijuana and folks in Hartford saying, hey, we have to make it more potent because people are running to New York and to Massachusetts and to Rhode Island to buy more weed. I say two things. Well, number one, maybe we're just more responsible here. Maybe they're wrong. And number two, if you're worried about business, I have an idea. Hey, cut taxes. Maybe we should do that on weed. One of the voices who are against doing this, or is against doing this, New Canaan Darianne Stanford, GOP state rep, Tom O'Day, right here in Fairfield County. Tom, it's Paul again. Good afternoon. How are you, sir?
Hey, Paul, how you doing? By the way, happy birthday, WICC.
Yeah,
happy 100.
100 years. So listen, Tom, do me a favor. Snuff out that joint while you're talking to me. Okay, no, I'm just kidding. So Tom, outline this, and maybe I'm wrong here, Tom. I just put my feelings out there. Tom, you tell me, is this a bad idea or not here? And I know there are business concerns here, but what was the debate like with this whole thing?
Look, not to get into the weeds on the weed bill, but I'm telling you, it's a terrible bill. And here's why. Okay.
All right.
The biggest problem I have is nobody disputes the fact that with passage of recreational marijuana, you have higher teen use. That's not disputed anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And what's also not disputed is you have an increase in motor vehicle deaths. Colorado saw a 16% increase in motor vehicle deaths related
mm-hmm.
to pot.
Mm-hmm.
Oregon saw 22%. Alaska, 20%, California, 14%. The teen use, you saw a four-time increase in kids going into the hospital, emergency room departments with THC in their system with psychotic emergencies. So that's not disputed. And the argument they made for us, the main argument was we need to help Connecticut businesses. So we're helping the Connecticut pot businesses, and we're killing our own residents and our other businesses. It just didn't make any sense.
Is the argument here, Tom, the main argument that, hey, are the surrounding states, you can get the more potent weed there? And listen, I do know people, Tom, who do go primarily, if they're in the northern part of the state, they'll buy a lot, they'll cross the state line, and they'll go up to and into Massachusetts. But they always tell me, Tom, or the people I talk to, it's not so much about the potency, it's about dollars and cents. It's that we tax this stuff too high.
Certainly that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but I would argue getting rid of the THC caps,
yeah,
which was my biggest problem. So it's unlimited for vaping, unlimited THC, and unlimited THC on the plants.
Mm-hmm.
How does that make sense?
it
just doesn't, especially, you know, we've got teens that are, you know, they see their parents that's legalized, so, hey, I'm going to try it. And it's just not good. Now, going across state lines, the argument is, yes, it's not legal to go buy in Massachusetts
yeah.
buy potency and come back.
Yeah.
But my response to that is, you know, don't do the high potency. It's not healthy. It's just not good for you. And I heard your caller, I think his name was Matt, about the police and the enforcement issue.
Yeah.
We do not have enough police officers trained
mm-hmm.
to do the proper testing on measuring whether or not somebody's under the influence of THC. So our roadways are going to be less safe. We don't have enough police officers trained. And we now have vaping and plants that don't have any THC caps. We will if the Senate passes. Now, the good news is for your listeners,
mm-hmm.
please reach out to the governor's office and any senators they know, because the governor is not a fan of this bill, nor, as I understand it, are many of the senators.
Okay.
So if your listeners have liked safe roads and want to keep their teens safe, have them reach out to their senators and the governor's office and tell them to vote no on this THC cannabis bill, 5350.
All right, bill 5350, New Canaan, Darien, Stamford State Rep, GOP, Tom O'Day. So, Tom, as it stands right now, and I know nothing is official yet, a lot of stuff does pass in the House in the lower chamber, like you said. So if you had a guess, Tom, and I know we have a couple of weeks left here, does this thing come up for a vote in the Senate? You mentioned it doesn't. It may not actually have a big spine of support there in the Senate. What's your gut tell you on this?
I mean, I'm optimistically saying 50-50.
Really? Okay.
Because I don't think there was a lot of input from the Senate on this. I don't think they're, frankly, eager to take it up.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the governor doesn't like it. So I would put it at 50-50, but if your listeners, as a 100th birthday for WICC, reach out and say, please keep our roads safe and keep our teens safe, vote no on 5350. There are other really bad bills going on today. I don't know if you heard about we've got right now homeschooling is tomorrow.
Okay.
And today is the vaccines. So it's a bad week for the Connecticut legislature, in my humble opinion.
Yeah, Tom, one more question now that we have about a minute and a half left. On the homeschooling bill, so they pulled out, from what I understand, the actual curriculum part of that. But do I understand, Tom, because I've heard this and maybe you're closer to it than I am, that there's still a lot of people, maybe in the majority party, who are, Tom, maybe a little antsy about doing this in an election year? Have their fears been allayed? What are you hearing on this?
I am hearing that. And certainly the interaction with DCF,
yeah,
requiring anyone pulling their kids out of public school or private school for homeschooling has to go through a DCF check for the entire household. That's an overreach. And, you know, DCF, quite frankly, we've voted on a new commissioner, and they're going to have their hands full. DCF needs some help. They need to get their employees back to in-office rather than remote, 100%. And so DCF's got a lot of work to do, and they don't need this added aggravation. And I don't think it's fair to have homeschool people have to go through DCF checks for everybody in the household. So, yeah, I'm hopeful that ultimately that bill gets changed some more.
All right, Republican State Rep Tom O'Day. Tom, always good to have you on, man. Be good. Stay safe out there. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, too. Always like coming on. Thanks.
All right, thanks. That's Tom O'Day, Republican, Fairfield County, portions of New Canaan, Darien, and Stamford. And again, we still don't know yet. This is the beauty of how leadership works in Hartford. We still don't know actually what's in the final version of that homeschooling bill. It's about quarter past 5:15 every Tuesday. Megan Portfolio joins us. She of the Yankee Institute and the Hartford Portfolio. Megan, good afternoon. How are you?
Fantastic, Paul, and how are you?
I'm living the dream, Megan. Listen, like I always say when people tell me that or ask me, it's far too late for law school, divinity school, or med school. So what can I tell you? What can I tell you? Before we get to your feature piece about
yes,
the minimum wage increases, numerous over the years, any skinny today? Any buzz? I talked to State Rep Tom O'Day from Lower Fairfield County a little while ago on this marijuana potency bill that passed the House. And also he said parts of the homeschooling bill are still a mystery. Anything on those or anything else did you notice today going through your stuff?
No, today, fortunately, it's still been like relatively calm. I'm expecting that to pick up any day now. Today, the House is doing that vaccine bill. That's the only bill they're doing today. And over on the Senate side, they are doing some online safety bill to regulate AI. But for some reason, buried in the bill, and I'm actually going to write about this, but buried in the bill is a provision that limits the use of AI in union, companies that are unionized or workplaces that are unionized. So I don't really understand it, what that has to do with like my safety, but
yeah, hey,
that's what's going on today.
Hey, nothing like
I'm dying to see the homeschool bill.
Yeah.
What that eventually is going to look like.
Yeah. Nothing like making it with that AI thing. Boy, that makes Connecticut attractive to business, doesn't it? Yeah. Got to do that now, don't we? Right.
Oh, that's a great segue into my minimum wage piece.
Yeah. So you took a look at all these minimum wage increases we've had as other states have had, and what'd you come up with?
Well, actually, and they're amazing. It's the Office of Legislative Research. Mm-hmm. They're nonpartisan, and they do deep dives into existing laws. They tell you what all the bills are about. They're awesome. I love this office.
Mm-hmm.
But they actually just came out with a report analyzing the minimum wage and how it was supposed to get people out of poverty.
Yeah.
And they basically found that it really didn't bring anyone out of poverty. And in fact, there's more people on government assistance than there was before the minimum wage went up.
And their analysis, Megan, goes back about how far, because we have these laws passed now where there's what, an automatic minimum wage raise every year, right?
Yeah, it's tied to inflation now, and it's automatic. So this is why I get so annoyed with our legislature, especially when they say phrases like, "Oh, this is a work in progress,"
yeah,
because it's almost like they're half-assing. I'm sorry.
No, that's all right.
It's almost like they half-ass things.
Yeah.
So they brought forth this minimum wage bill back in 2019. I think it was around $10 an hour at the time. And they were like adamant, we need to do this. This is going to pull people out of poverty.
Yeah.
But it didn't, because they didn't address all the things that make us all poor. And I mean, I'm not saying I'm poverty, but I live in Connecticut outside of Fairfield County. So you live out of the, in Connecticut, you're poor. And because they didn't want to address any of the other things, like there's a thing called a benefit cliff.
Yeah.
So when you are on assistance, you know, it's based on your income and what you're bringing in.
Yeah.
So if you suddenly make over that, you just drop off the cliff. So now it's like, do I work? Do I get assistance?
Yeah.
What do I do? It's almost better for me to not work because and I think they're trying to address that thankfully this year. But you can't just up the salary because everything else is still going up. Electricity is going up, rent's going up.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not gonna do anything about all of these other things, you can raise the minimum wage to $50 an hour, you're still going to have people in poverty because they're not addressing any of the other issues that make it so expensive to live here in Connecticut.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like a fire department coming out and putting out a fire and shooting water at the top levels of a house, but not touching what's going on underneath that. So visually it looks good. But again, Megan, you're not getting at the root causes here. And this is something I rail and moan about on the show all the time, is we don't take big initiatives and saying this has to stop. We do these little baby steps. We move this money over to here. And it's like, whew, okay, we can adjourn now. Let's just get past the election. And here we come with a long session next year. It's frustrating. Yeah. It really is.
It is very frustrating because it's like they're handing people crumbs and saying, oh, you should be happy. Look what we did for you. Look how, because I remember them touting this during the election season. Oh, we raised the minimum wage. Well, poverty rate literally went from 10.5 to 10.2%.
Yeah.
And prior to this going into effect, we had a little bit over 900,000 people on Medicaid. It's over 1 million now. So it's going in the wrong direction. But that's what they do. It's like, be happy with your crumbs, because they don't want to fix the big structural issues that we have in this state.
And I don't understand, Megan, why. And look, I applauded, for example, what the governor did the other day. Now, it's an election year, and he's got to calm some people down. But listen, this commission or blue ribbon commission, whatever, on education, listen, it may all be for show, but if you get some legislators together and some teachers and some finance people from out of state, you know, they may actually come up with something, maybe one or two aspects, that's a good idea. We need to do that more.
I've been seeing a lot of the far left very critical of this.
Yeah.
But because we had a blue ribbon commission, I'm going to say in 2012, 2013.
Yeah.
So they kind of did this already, but that was a different time. That was before COVID. That was before we have all this learning loss.
Mm-hmm.
That was before we have like decreasing enrollment. So it's a different landscape right now, and what we have now isn't working, and it's not working. Like, look at your tax bill. Look at all the, I'm sure all your listeners are all hearing from their leaders in their communities, property taxes are going up. Why are property taxes going up? Big chunk of that is the education.
Mm-hmm.
It does really need to be looked at. It needs to be addressed. But and the system they have now isn't working. This formula is not working.
Yeah, and again, for example, why don't we have this commission, for example, Megan Portfolio, looking, 5, 10, 15, 20 years down the line at the electric grid and our energy needs? I mean, everybody cries and whines and moans, and with good reason, about the public benefits charge, but I'd love to see the governor say, okay, and this group of people is going to get together, and for 6 or 8 months, I want a report. How do we fix this? But as you say, with education, one of those things may be, more importation of something even the governor wants to do, which is natural gas, and the crying and the moaning and the pearl clutching and the screaming and yelling is going to start immediately when they read that.
I personally like working groups. I think they're a great idea. I come from the corporate world. I mean, that's how, you brainstorm and you fix things. I've seen it work, and I've also seen it not work at the government level. Like when they had a working group to get rid of our car taxes, I'm sure everyone loves having to pay that every year. And the actual experts on this working group said to the chairs, like, and this was Mark Boughton. It was a smart guy. He runs DRS. The guy's a smart guy. He's like, listen, we do need to get rid of this. I understand, but we need to look at it further. We need to know the implications of getting rid of it. Mm-hmm. And the chairs were like, eh, I got my check mark. I had my committee. Here's my report. And I think their finding was so ridiculous. I think they said, oh, we can allow towns to not charge a property tax for cars. Okay, that's great. Now every single business and property owner in the town gets to pick up the slack. That's a dumb idea. So I've seen them work and I've seen them not work. So it just... let's not get dopey people on the commissions, and let's just get people that want to, that actually, like Mark Boughton, actually cared about the issue and actually wanted to do something about it, and his hands were tied.
Well, Megan, like
the chair,
and that's a great example of, and I always say this oftentimes, like, for example, we're seeing this now with the association health plans and another downvote that the Megan, I say this all the time, the people who are most against change are also the most fearful that it might actually work. And we wouldn't want that now, would we? Would we?
No, we wouldn't. And that association health plan, just really quick, that, I mean, I don't know if you talked about it on the air yet, but that is something that the small business community wants and they need. And they were shut down. I don't know why. I don't know. There's certain lawmakers that just won't even listen. And it's like, you have your constituents, the people you work for that are paying you, telling you this is what they need, and they won't, and they don't do it.
And they say,
well, what are you going to do for them then? Have a single payer option for the state, because we handle every other government handles every other thing that, you know, they take control of so well. I mean, is that their solution? I think that's where they want to go. But
yeah, I think from what I read, there was another story today. They just want to protect the Obamacare exchange, Access Health Connecticut.
They think it would
suck people out of there, my God, into giving them choice. Can't have that now, can we? No.
Well, I keep hearing affordability. I've been working here at Yankee since 2019, and every year I hear about affordability. It's expensive to live here, and every year nothing is done about it.
Yeah. All right, folks, check it out. Connecticut's doubled its minimum wage. Poverty Barely Moved, the latest edition of the Hartford Portfolio, Yankee Institute, Megan Portfolio. Meg, thanks. We'll talk next week. Appreciate it.
Wonderful day, Paul.
All right, thanks.